Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the Fantasy Sports Scout Euro Edition. Congratulations for choosing to spend your morning, your afternoon, or your evening with us. My name is Edward, and I'm joined by Julia, and we both have witnessed an actual Euro 2020 game.
Live. So hello, we are really excited because yesterday we finally managed to see live the game between Ukraine and Austria.
We're also really hungry, so if you hear a weird sound, it's me eating oat flakes.
yes, it was a weird morning here in Bucharest.
But to start out with a bang, let's prepare our sound effects. There you go. Boy, that stinks.
Yes.
The fact that we went and saw the game, but there was only one goal, and Julia called it rather boring. Why was it boring,
Julia? It was boring because although it was a decisive game, it was the last game in this group for Ukraine and for Austria. It was rather decisive, and Ukraine needed to win in order to qualify. Austria needed at least a draw, from what I remember. I might be wrong. Let me look.
Yeah,
it was something like that. And I was expecting to see a rather more not aggressive but challenging, creative game on the Ukrainian side. Unfortunately, it was not the case. They also got the goal. Yeah, it was
Ukraine, yeah.
They got the goal from Austria, and even after that, they didn't try their best to attack and try to score as well. And I don't know why. It was
kind
of
boring. They wallowed in mediocrity.
It was kind of boring because at that point it was all or nothing. So it didn't matter if they lost with 3-0 or whatever. As long as you don't try and you don't try to win, then there was no point. But the most impressive thing was the fact that the stadium was almost, I don't know, quarter full, half full, something like that, with Ukrainian fans. So people traveled from Ukraine. Well, it's not that far from Romania, but still, they came all the way here from Ukraine to watch their national team play and
lose.
Yes, so it was kind of disappointing. On the other hand, the Austrian fans were not as many as the Ukrainian ones, but they're really into it, and it was fun to watch.
We're not that many, but we're just as smelly.
It was fun to watch. Anyway, I was expecting a more, full of goal games. I always say that I go there to watch the goals live, and it didn't happen. It was only one. It was not that spectacular coming from Austria, unfortunately. But yeah.
And since we actually missed the opportunity to review some of the games since Friday, I guess we were pretty lazy or busy, depends on how you look at it. We're gonna do it now.
Yes.
Julia.
Yes.
You watched Portugal Germany. Which gives me the opportunity to ask you. You didn't watch a bunch of the other games, which gives me the opportunity to talk about them. So let me, before I ask you, actually just go quickly through the results. Sweden beat Slovakia 1-0. Boo! Sweden is terrible.
Yes.
They qualified.
Not fun.
Except for Isak Alexander, who's really technical. Croatia drew against Czech Republic 1-1. Boo! I lost in fantasy football because I thought Brozovic would be playing. He did not. But
Ooh.
Patrik Schick scored his third goal of the tournament and is now leading the goal-scoring pack with Ronaldo by his side. And Julia, we actually watched together and were massively bored by England-Scotland 0-0.
Oh my God. Yes.
Boo!
That was one of the most boring games of this tournament. Yes.
England lacked imagination. That's my take on it.
So you did not miss anything.
But we will be previewing their other game because they're playing tonight as well.
Yay.
With a slightly changed side. And another game you didn't completely watch, but
yes,
I did, was Hungary-France. It ended 1-1. The Hungarians got a draw. But France played pretty well. Not like England. They actually tried to create a few things. even though they were go down. And Hungary was defending with all 11 men close to their goal. France grabbed an equalizer to Antoine Griezmann, and that was basically it, which leads us to the most exciting game
of this week.
Portugal played Germany and lost 2-4. Six goals, Julia.
Yes,
was it that exciting?
Yes, it was tremendously exciting. I particularly enjoyed that game, especially since you are rooting for Portugal and I am a fan of the German team. Mm-hmm. So we were right here sitting on the same couch in our living room watching the game on our computer, and it was really fun. It was, you know, the first goal, as I remember, was the penalty for Ronaldo, or was that the second one? You don't remember. Anyway,
it was that run where Bernardo Silva passed the ball really brilliantly and Diego Jota passed it to Ronaldo. Ronaldo didn't score a penalty in this one.
Ah, it was not a penalty. I'm confusing
the
games.
That was the other game.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
So that was like a really good move. Portugal was one up, but
exactly.
Then Germany started attacking down the flanks.
Yes, and it was tremendous. It was glorious, and I was so happy they you know, managed to gather all their passion and their force in this game against Portugal, because in the game before it looked like they had nobody to attack and score for them, and now they happened to even force Portugal team to score like two own goals. Well, one of them was almost not an own goal, but this is technically how it is scored, and then they managed to score two of their own. So that leads the final time with a 4-2 score for Germany.
Yeah, and technically it was pretty sound as well. So most of the goals came from the flanks, like we said. Kai Havertz played in this, similar to Thomas Müller, this player that continuously was looking for space. And almost every time that Germany attacked, they were outnumbering the Portugal defenders. Really poor game from Nelson Semedo. If you remember, I told you he wasn't very good. He's not bad, actually. But Portugal just really dealt badly tactically with this one. And a special props to Kroos and Gundogan, who controlled the center of the midfield there.
Oh,
it's exciting.
This is an exciting statistics. I don't normally watch the statistics of the game, but this is rather exciting, especially if you're playing fantasy football, like the more complex ones, in which the passes and successful passes and blocks and whatever counts. And in this case, in this particular game, apparently the precision of the passes for the German team was at 90%.
Wow.
And I find that truly amazing. Like, only one in 10 passes would not go to the intended player direction, right? For Portugal, is also impressive. They had 85% precision in their passes. Almost as good, you know?
Especially in a difficult game where both mm-hmm. teams were pressing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I think they were quite similar, but obviously Germany had the upper hand, as you football people say.
and Germany is back, and they're excited.
Yeah.
And they will most likely go through. They have one more game. They have to beat Hungary.
It's okay.
But it remains to be seen if the three big teams from this group, France included, will all go through, or maybe Hungary will pull off a surprise. Exciting stuff. Was it that exciting? Not quite as exciting. Spain played Poland. It finished 1-0. Spain dominated the game. Mm-hmm. But Robert Lewandowski finally got his goal mm-hmm. in this Euro mm-hmm. and gives Poland a lifeline for the final game. Alvaro Morata, I took my friend's advice, had him in my fantasy football team. He scored a goal. I'm still not convinced, but we're getting there.
I have a question. Hmm. I'm looking at the score in the group right now, Group E. We are talking about Spain, Portugal, Sweden, and Slovakia. And who will qualify? Like, what's the last game of this?
Yeah, that looks pretty tricky. So
yes.
Sweden, since they have 4 points, they look like almost certainly going to qualify. Spain's gonna play Slovakia. Slovakia have 3 points. Spain only have two because they have two draws. Poland have one and they play Sweden. So let's say that Poland beats Sweden and Spain draws with Slovakia. That would mean that Spain would be out.
Wow.
Sweden would be in. And depending on how well Poland beat Slovakia, they might also qualify against their neighbors.
This is rather interesting because...
I messed that up, sorry. If Poland beat Sweden by a wide margin, I meant to say,
Spain has a rather wide chance not qualify in this tournament, although they won twice the Euros?
Even recently. I think they won it 3 times in total, but yeah, I mean, recently they were the best.
That's shocking. And Sweden, the first one in their group, I mean... have nothing against them, but again, it was kind of boring, and it was they really played what you are calling a negative game, not fun to watch at all.
I have something against them. I know I'm a journalist and I'm supposed to be objective, and this is objective. They're objectively miserable, and miserable to watch. But a team that is not miserable to watch, actually very entertaining even when they're playing their substitutes, is Italy. And they won 1-0 against Wales, and they've actually won all 3 of their group games, which makes a lot of my Italian friends very excited and happy.
Yes, that's it's exciting.
It was pretty much the same sort of tactical battle that Italy has employed so far, just with different players. Marco Verratti came in, and a bunch of others as well. They even replaced the goalkeeper by the end of the game. Verratti especially was quite brilliant, and it remains to be seen, will he get a chance to start in the next round, or will it be Manuel Locatelli?
Locatelli.
Of course, we already know who Italy will be playing. It's Austria, so good for Italy. They should enjoy this.
Austria. Oh, you're...
We already know a couple of the games.
The next phase.
The next phase.
Okay. Now, shall we say a few words about Switzerland and Turkey?
Yeah, Turkey were abysmal. So the only thing that they can take out of this tournament is the pain of being abysmal and having to change. They scored one goal. It would have been really embarrassing to go away with 3 defeats and no goals. They lost only 3-1 to Switzerland this time, and it has to be said that Switzerland isn't a very good team either. Shaqiri scored 2, especially one of them, lovely goals.
Yes.
But Turkey was just all over the place.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, as a lot of people noticed, the Turkish team has a lot of young players. And probably for them, it was overwhelming to participate in such a big competition, because they did qualify. So it was the same team to qualify. But now, when they had to play more games in a short time span, they did not do so well.
Yeah, even though they do have a few, like you mentioned, exciting talents like Soyuncu and Çalhanoğlu, who might be going to Inter Milan, I hear, which is surprising considering how badly he played. But that's it for Turkey. We're done with you. And of course, there were also the games from yesterday. We talked about Ukraine-Austria. In the other game of the group, which had no real value on the actual result in the group, Netherlands beat North Macedonia 3-0. I'll just say, because I was at the other game, but I watched a replay. It's interesting that Netherlands pretty much played their main squad just because they want to build, relationships between the players. Mm-hmm. Usually they, like Italy, rested most of their players.
Yes.
Netherlands didn't. So that's why they won 3-0 with Wijnaldum and Depay, maybe their most influential players, scoring. It's just the fact that they've been pretty shaky, and Frank de Boer just wants their players to get to know each other, get accustomed to each other.
Yeah, and they won all of their games so far, which is impressive. Yes,
they did, and I don't know. I think when they meet a tougher opponent further along the line, it'll show that they're not quite as good as people think they are. They're a bit confused in defense, especially. But still, a few excellent players. Frankie de Jong, especially. I really like him.
So last night, after we got back from the stadium, we watched two more games in parallel, which were Russia and Denmark, Finland playing against Belgium. Actually, the high-stake game, it was Russia playing against Denmark, because last night we were not sure who was the team that was, able to qualify, because as I can see here, it was a rather big battle for the second and even the third position in the Group B. I think they're gonna go further in the tournament based on the goals they actually mark, because the second, third, and fourth team here in this group all have 3 points. They all won only one game.
So
So.
basically, Denmark needed to beat Russia, and they also needed Belgium to beat Finland. And tell us about the stadium in Denmark. What was that like?
It was crazy. So, I don't know about the regulations there, about health regulations, sorry. But it was full of people, and they were all cheering and singing and going crazy. And outside the stadium, there was some sort of a screen where the people on the street could watch the game, and it was so full of people, and they all had like beers, and game stuff for the to watch the football game. And when the first goal happened, when Denmark scored for the first time in the 38th minute, they all went crazy. They were all over the place. Beer was flying above their heads. It
Which
was.
makes me wonder, do these people really love beer as much as they claim? Because you told me that a beer in Denmark, actually, we're gonna go to Denmark soon, is like 7 euros or something.
Or more advanced, but
Are you throwing away 7 euro lager on a goal? They scored four, so that's like 30 euros just to celebrate.
but that happened on the first goal. Then they got the second, the third. Obviously, they were really happy when that happened as well. By the time they scored the fourth goal, which was in the 82nd minute, I think they had no more beer because the beer flying around wasn't that much, There was not so much activity that involved beer by the fourth goal,
It
but
was
still.
one of the coolest games I've seen in a
Yes.
while, especially given the story. Obviously, they were playing on the same ground where just 10 days ago they'd had this tragic event with Christian Eriksen, and really everyone rallied around the team, and it was just this feeling of togetherness. And it was like Denmark just couldn't do anything wrong in this game. They beat Russia 4-1. Our dog just farted. But it was that kind of night where they could have just beaten Brazil or Argentina. They were playing amazing. Three of the goals were especially pretty, actually all of them. Damsgaard's goal from way outside, and Andreas Christensen scored a similarly beautiful goal. Paulsen was gifted this great pass by a Russian defender and had to lob the keeper, and Joachim Mele kept off a great counterattack. It was just a memorable night and a memorable performance, which wouldn't have meant much had Belgium failed to win. But Belgium also playing most of their starters, like Lukaku, they did finally manage to win 2-0 against Finland, who defended really heavily, with at least 8 players at all times.
All of them. They used all of them. Yeah, well, what were you supposed to do against Belgium in their defense? I'm looking at some stats. I don't know why. Today I'm obsessed with the stats of the game, and their precision is not that bad. Even for Finland, they had 83 precision.
Wow, yeah,
83%,
but maybe
yeah.
they were just playing in their own half. But still,
Yeah, well, while Belgium had 89, so.
the
But you can
faster
see.
you go, or the tighter the spaces, the bigger chances you have of failing.
Yes.
You need to consider that as well. But for example, no, sorry, Ukraine yesterday, when they were trying to attack, there were a lot of missed passes. maybe tiredness, maybe nerves, but
let's check that. Yeah,
it actually, just before we go to the previews, I want to say, you know, in fantasy football, David Alaba got 56 points, maybe I think the most points of any player yesterday, and we watched David Alaba. He's clearly good. But
the Austrian player,
yeah. But I finally get why, you know, why he played for Bayern. He's gonna go to Real Madrid. You weren't looking at him and going, man, this guy's like a Brazilian. This guy's amazing. But he was always there and useful, mm-hmm. and like making the right choice.
Oh,
and
I think he was there everywhere. He was doing the corners. He was
he was drifting into the center.
Yeah,
he was
blocking,
playing as a wide player,
dribbling, doing all the important passes.
Yeah, so I think that actually kind of sums it up. Like, an excellent player is not necessarily a Ronaldo or a Messi. It's one of those players that does everything well and consistently throughout the game. And if you have that kind of player, that's like a $100 million player right there.
Okay.
That's, which is interesting. But now, since we have fancy sound effects, we're going to use them.
Yes.
To preview the games we have today. They're played at the same time, and we already know mostly that England's gonna qualify, even though they haven't been very good.
Okay, so today we have two games, Croatia versus Scotland and the Czech Republic playing against England. They're gonna play at the same time because they're from the same group, and does it matter who will do what?
It does a little bit. So England already have 4 points. So even if they lose to Czech Republic, which is possible, they're still going to go as the third best team. Like you mentioned, some of the other groups have the third best team. It has 3 points. So they're going through. The Czech Republic also have 4 points, which pretty much means the same. So the only battle is between Croatia and Scotland. Both have 1 point.
So it's important that one of them wins today.
Yeah, if Croatia draw, they'll finish third above Scotland, but most likely they won't go through. So yeah, Croatia need to win, and I think actually either team, if they win, they go through as at least the third best team. Let's talk a little bit about England, because we mostly watch and read and hear English media about football.
Yeah.
And they went from incredibly excited
to
not very excited.
To boring.
For me, England recently hasn't been that good to begin with. Yeah. They do have some excellent players, especially in attack, but you wouldn't be able to tell against Scotland.
And you cannot distinguish them on the pitch. Yes, please.
It's interesting. Like, today there was a story that Manchester City made an offer of 100 million plus sterling for Harry Kane.
I find that really funny. As you mentioned before, how does a player feel like when your club, you know, your employer, the company you work for, comes to you and tells you, hey, you, we decided that we are going to trade you and offer a pat of money, a sum of, I don't know, X million dollars.
I have a similar story. It happened to a friend of mine. He was playing football. He wanted to be a pro. And the team he was playing for eventually traded him for a sack of balls.
A what?
Like a sack filled with footballs.
Footballs.
So like they traded a human being for,
yeah,
for
okay,
a sack of football.
But maybe that's some sort of, yeah, that's weird. How did that turn out?
He didn't play for long, so okay. I guess they were right, because maybe they're still using the football.
Yeah, perhaps. But in this case, we are talking about Premier League clubs. Like, you're making an offer to another club. Hey, here's my player. Here's some money. And can we have that player from your team? That's like the best player in your team, like your captain.
So,
that's kind of weird.
But it's really weird because they actually played the first two games together. So you can just imagine like the conversations. You know,
like for the England team you're talking about.
It's but actually in football terms, I guess it sort of makes sense because they really want Harry Kane and Sterling.
But
Sterling's form is going down. Although Sterling has scored once, Harry Kane hasn't scored at all in
this year. Well, in this tournament, but usually when during the tournament in Premier League. I think he's better than that. Also, Tottenham is not bad. It's not a bad team in the Premier League, right? They're okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
And, yeah.
They're no Arsenal. but the good news for our English supporters is that most likely they will get the chance to see Jack Grealish, which they've been clamoring for recently. And also, Harry Maguire is making a return, which doesn't make me happy because I sold my Harry Maguire cards in Football Coin.
So is that good or bad?
I don't have no more. I have no more Harry Maguire cards.
Maguire, you have no more.
Maguire cards, I have no more. Actually, I might borrow one. But yeah, Czech Republic, on the other hand, they've been pretty impressive. Pretty sound at the back. Haven't lost so far. Tomáš Souček, like we predicted, played really well. And Petr Šik, the attacker, he's already scored 3 goals. Really, really excited to see him. A player that gets compared to the likes of Ibra, Himović.
Shall we do a preview for tomorrow as well?
Let's do that because that looks pretty exciting. Oh yeah, so my other prediction for Croatia-Scotland is I kind of see Scotland doing something because Croatia hasn't really impressed me at all. Although they have like Modric and Kovacic.
Well, you never know. Last night, Denmark impressed the entire world with their performance and their goals. 4 goals in a game for a team, that's impressive. Not a lot of teams can pull that off.
So going from a team that scores a lot of goals to a team that barely scores any goals, yet seems to qualify each time. Oh, God. Let's do a preview of Sweden versus Poland.
What's the point?
The only point is, I guess, that Poland need to win in order to qualify. We mentioned this earlier. They're playing at the same hour as Spain versus Slovakia. Mm-hmm. The bigger news story would be if Spain do not qualify. Like you mentioned, that would be a disaster.
Yeah. Well, it's just football, you know. People watch football just for this excitement and for the surprise element. And this is definitely a surprise element in case Spain doesn't qualify. It is football. It is what it is.
I don't think that's going to be the pep talk that Luis Enrique is going to hold. Guys, I know you need to win today, but remember, it's only football.
Well, no, but...
Alvaro, really, no pressure. No pressure to score.
No, but this is how the greatest football stories are born, you know. This is how they are made. Like, you know, that time, that tournament in 2020 when the Spanish team had almost no chance of qualifying and then they played this wonderful game and they scored like 10 times.
Similarly, disaster stories are born that way. Remember when Spain was supposed to win everything? And they didn't, and they couldn't win a game. Yeah, that was terrible.
I was trying to be optimistic here.
No, I think Spain actually isn't as bad as people think. I mean, they created a lot of chances in both of their games.
They're just not losing, not winning, sorry.
Yeah. They weren't clinical in attack, but I liked a lot of their midfield players. I like Dani Olmo, for example. I really like the way that Jordi Alba keeps going down that left-hand side to cross the ball. They're good. But the two more exciting games will be played in the evening. And we might have an even bigger surprise if one of these three teams doesn't qualify. By those I mean Portugal, France, who play at 10, and Germany. And they take on Hungary in what could be a controversial match. Tell us about Germany, Hungary. What do you expect the Germans to do? Because I know you've been following them.
Oh, I expect them to win against Hungary. I think it's gonna. You're trying to suggest that it's gonna be a controversial game because Hungary, on one hand, they don't believe in.
Hold on.
Wait, what?
I was under the belief that they're gonna be playing in Hungary, in Budapest. But they're actually playing in Germany. Well, now the tables are turned. Okay. Manuel Neuer can wear his armband as much as he pleases. Ha ha ha.
So you misleaded me. So you said that they're going to play in Hungary, but that's not the case.
Hungary just passed some interesting legislation, which would have made the fact that Manuel Neuer wears a rainbow armband. he is the captain of Germany, would have made the match a bit more spicy, I guess. But yeah, I think, you know, Hungary have been playing pretty resiliently.
Yes, but as you can see, we can still expect positive and negative surprises from all teams, not just the best ones or the ones that don't get that much, you know, advantage.
What do you think of Portugal versus France? Because Portugal could technically be knocked out if, well, if a few things happen, if Hungary beat Germany, or if the 3 points that they have won't be enough to get them third best place.
Well, in this case, I think they need at least a draw. Is that correct? Because otherwise, you don't know for sure if they will get to qualify for the third position, given the fact that there are lots of groups that have 3 points on the third position. But I think they all know this, and they will try their best, not like other teams that will stand by, do nothing, seeing the Euro passing by through their, slipping by through their fingers. I think we're going to see a real battle match.
It's I think both teams have shown that they have vulnerabilities, which we didn't really see before the tournament. So France, you know, Rafael Varane was really slow against against Hungary, and the Hungarians attacked really good on the left flank, especially. Portugal looked really naive tactically against Germany. So maybe they're not quite as great as we expected, because France and Portugal looked like the best teams in the whole tournament. So it's definitely going to be an interesting match. And let's see, I was predicting initially that this was going to be the final of the tournament, but we will have to wait and see. Since this is the Fantasy Sports Scout, let's do some fantasy talk, which gives me the opportunity to show off. Dear listeners, I've just won myself my first official football coin contest of the Euros.
Oh.
I'd won a couple of private ones. This is the first, like, big one. And I did it all on the strength of my brilliant squad selection skills, which I will now present to you, because obviously, yes, everyone wants to know this.
Yes, please. So you're going to tell us about your winning team?
Yeah, so this was a tournament that involved the North Macedonia, Netherlands, and Ukraine,
games.
Austria games. Yes. Take a look at this. I was smart enough to get Bouchon in goal. Well, that wasn't bad, but obviously he got a goal. But not terrible. I had five defenders, so I played a 5-4-1. Remember that. De Ligt played really well, got me 38 points. De Vrij, not so well. David Alaba, like we mentioned, he got 57 points. 57, count them, 57.
Okay.
Dumfries got 17, but Danny Blind, he keeps passing the ball, he keeps getting it back, he gets 46. Then in midfield, I had the Gini Wijnaldum, who scored 2 goals, so he got 47 points. Gravenberg, who I'm told was really good, 43. Malinowski, not so good. De Jong, reasonable. And in attack, Memphis. Memphis Depay, who scored and also got me 41 points, which means I am the winner, uncontested winner of this. Congratulations to me.
Congratulations to you, Edward. You are a true legend of this game we call fantasy football. I did not do as well as you did. I got some points. I got something out of it. I have only 3 players, so I don't know if you had any cards in this competition.
I mostly had cards.
Okay.
To be.
So you, okay, because I had only 3 players, and still I got 345 points, which got me on the 86th position.
That's not bad at all.
No, it's not.
Congrats.
Okay,
congrats.
So we have other competitions for today?
We do have competitions for contests, daily contests, every day of the Euros, with every single one sorry, of the matches in the Euros included. Mm-hmm. So this will be pretty exciting. Do you want to do like a live?
I did my own.
You did your own. Okay,
yes,
tell us about it. So this is for the games for today for England, Czech Republic, and Croatia, Scotland. Let's
yes.
see what you picked.
So, shall I start with the forward?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I chose Patrick Schick.
Who scored 3 goals so far. Very good choice.
Czech Republic. For midfielders, I went for Calvin Phillips.
Right.
Toman Suček.
I love him.
Scott McTominay.
He played very good last time against England.
And Callum McGregor.
He did okay as well.
And for defenders, I chose Tyrone Mings. Vladimir Kufal.
He's really good as well. I like him.
Sime Varslik. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. He's from... Yeah, he's very good. From Croatia.
Croatia. Luke Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And Domagoj Vida.
He's a very tough defender. Yeah, good choice.
And
who did
Thomas,
you get a goalkeeper?
Tomas Vaklik for a goalkeeper.
I think that's good. I don't think England's going to score in this one. So.
So, did I do good?
I think you did good. You kind of went against England, which, let's be fair, you know, at this point.
Actually, I chose most.
No, you chose a few English. I'm just teasing.
I chose based on their last match points, because you have here a setting where you can choose to display the players in according to their last games, their scores. And then I suppose that if they did well in their last game, they're going to play well now, right?
That's sound logic. But you will be watching to make sure that all of these players are actually going to be active. I know you will.
Yes.
And avoid squad rotation.
Yes. So every day before the game, Eddie texts me, shouts at me if he's at home, calls me, just remind me that I have just a few minutes left before the game starts and I can change my team in the fantasy football game, which is Football Coin, in case they're not announced as lineups.
Yes. I do.
Thank
I do.
You.
It's important.
It's very important.
It's how you win tournaments just by being focused.
Yes, thank you. Oh, there's another contest.
Cool. Okay. So, having said that, do you want to do a live... Yeah, let's create a team real quick here in ending. Let's go for three players. This is just to mention a contest involving the teams in Spain's group. So it's Spain, Slovakia, and Poland, Sweden. You got Martin Dubravka in goal. Good choice from Slovakia. And I think you can't go past Robin Olsen, the Swedish goalkeeper. Let's see who else you're going to get. Ludomir Sadka from Slovakia, Mikael Lustig, the evergreen Swede player, Bartosz Brzezinski from Poland, he played really good, Marcus Danielsson, who was quite sound in previous games, and Augustin Ludwig. It's always a good idea to get Swedish defenders, Swedish Vikings as well. Midfielders, Sebastian Larsson. All these players look like they could have just been, you know, like rock climbers. But they're playing football instead. Martin Kostelnik from Slovakia, played good. Kamil Jozwiak from Poland, pretty imaginative midfielder. And Albin Ekdal, another Swede. In attack, we're going to go for one attacker, and it can only be Isak Alexander, who did really well, or Pedri from Spain. Oh, actually, Pedri?
Pedri, yeah.
Yeah, a very talented teenager. And you got Pedri.
Yeah, but, and then I need an extra.
And you need an extra, I would say, technical, Isak Alexander.
Okay.
And an assistant manager to round that.
Yes. So this is my team. Thank you, Edward.
And this is most of the time we have for today. We're going to be back previewing the following round of games, and also giving our opinions on the matches that are gonna be played. We already know two of the round of 16, and those are Julia. Wales playing Denmark
and Italy playing Austria.
Yeah, we already know that Holland and Belgium are
qualified. But we don't know who they're going to play. So that needs to be determined today and tomorrow for the next games. And so, yeah, talk to you really soon.
Talk to you soon. Enjoy the football. We are watching everything.
Don't forget to play football fantasy.
Yes.
Fantasy football. Bye.